Greg, Adam Crowley, who you might or might not know, our morning show host here, said moments after this announcement was made that Cruz didn't deserve to be in the home run derby, that he hadn't earned it because he's 39th in the league in home runs this year. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who's, you know, who's deserving. It's an exhibition. They're trying to show the guys that have the most power and show off at Truist Park to set the StatCast records at this thing. And, you know, O'Neill Cruz, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the darn thing.
That's what Paul Skene said today. He said that.
Did he? Yep. I didn't see it. Well, you know, I'd ask, not to be snarky, I'd ask Adam if he's actually sat and watched a batting practice with O'Neill Cruz. That's all you have to do. And you'd say, this guy, I'd be surprised if he wouldn't have been asked to participate. It makes all the sense in the world to have him involved in this exhibition and put on a show and spotlight. And he will. He'll put on a show. And my money is on him to win this thing.
Well, the funny thing about it is, Greg, I think if he were to win it and put on that show you're talking about, for at least some people who have chimed in with us today, that would just serve as more frustration, fuel for frustration with the guy that he can't seem to put it all together on a game-in, game-out basis, month-in, month-out basis as a big leaguer, that there are still, and even I say this as a guy that obviously wants to see him succeed, there are still those lapses that just are too regular, I think, for people's liking.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get that, but you know, for me, I separate the two. I mean, he's got just unbelievable potential, and then again, I think this serves baseball well, and him personally well, and the Pirates, because there'll be a lot of eyes on the Derby. There always is, and as I said, he'll put on a show. Now, that to me, it's a separate issue. It is frustrating. I know he's frustrated. He gets angry at himself that he hasn't put it all together. And I'm going to ask Donnie on the pregame today. I've got the pregame radio show. One of the things I want to ask him about is, you know, there are managers who kind of are leery about their players participating in it. I saw the Ellie De La Cruz. I think it's the third year in a row that he turned it down.
Josh Bell, when he did it, went into a slump after the All-Star game.
Yeah. Big time.
So that's going to be one of my questions for him, what he thinks about that. Now, in a weird way, could this, I don't know, but could this actually help him if he goes out, maybe shows some the confidence that is kind of lacking right now, being caught in between? Who knows? I mean, it's not like he's going into this thing tearing up the league and leading the league in home runs. He's in a horrible slump. So maybe the exact opposite occurs with him. He goes into it slumping and comes out of it red hot. That's my hope.
Greg, what is your theory as someone that's watched every one of his games, who's around the team so much? What is your theory on why O'Neill Cruz, with as much potential, you use that word too, to be as good as anybody in baseball, what is your theory on why he hasn't put it all together?
You know, Andrew, to me, it's what makes this game so incredible, so great. This game is so unpredictable. It is so hard to succeed at it every single day, no matter what the potential is. And I've been around a long time. I've heard all about potential and players on the Pirates and other teams around baseball over the long history of the game who've come to the big leagues with much fanfare. I'll never forget Chad Hermanson.
I knew you were going to say
many,
that.
Many years
I
ago.
I heard he could walk on water, Greg.
Well, that's what, you know, and Woody Heike was his manager, and Woody was not one who was hyperbolic in any way. Woody was very level-headed, low-key, long-time Pirate minor league manager. And when he said that, it was his quote, it really raised eyebrows throughout the organization. And, you know, it makes you perk up because you hear all kinds of stuff throughout. You know, all people have agendas throughout every organization, and depending on your department, whether you're a scout or you're head of minor leagues, you want to push this guy or that guy, but you'd never hear that from Woody. And then when Woody said that, you go, whoa, you know, the numbers were there for Chad Hermanson. Well, then he got to the big leagues, and I will never forget walking for the first day, walking into the clubhouse and seeing I don't know who it was, in his ear. And then he goes out for batting practice. Someone else is in his ear. And then he walks into the dugout, and another coach or someone is in his ear telling him stuff. I thought, man, I hope he can, you know, decipher all this and not let it get creep in and ruin what he is. Well, then he got here, got to the Pirates, and the Pirates, for whatever reason, did not play him every day. I did a research on it back then before computers and my scorebook, and found that he had not started more than, I think, six consecutive games at any stretch. So he would struggle, and he'd sit. And then a couple days later, he'd start again, play a couple games, and they'd sit him. And I always felt like if they had just let him go out there and let him play, sink or swim, give him a month and see what happens, maybe he would have developed into the player that they had hoped and much of baseball thought he would become.
Brownie.
Anyway, long story to say regarding Cruz, this is O'Neill Cruz's second full season in the major leagues. Think about that. He's in the midst of his second full major league season. So as frustrating as it is, you want guys to jump on board and you know, hit 40 homers and steal 40 right away. Some guys, it takes longer, and for him, he's still trying to figure it out.
Brownie, just a quick one here. I think of great Pirates throws from the outfield, outfield assists of my lifetime. I think of Jose Guillen at Coors Field getting Nathy Perez going from second to third. Just comical.
Who is the third baseman, Chris?
Joe Randa.
Nope.
Sprague?
Nope.
Now I'm blanking on it, who it would have been.
Well, I won't tell you. You guys can.
All right, I'll have to go.
You may tell you. I will tell you. Keith Osick.
Playing third base that day.
Keith Osick was playing third base.
Wow, I would have never guessed that in a million years.
Honestly, that's an unbelievable trivia question. I could have stumped Pony.
It really is.
O'Neill Cruz throwing out Crawford in that Mariners game to keep it scoreless when Skeens is on the mound. How many better throws have you seen? Because, I mean, I don't blame you. You called it like the run was fait accompli, and then there was just this shocked sound when it actually happened.
What? I actually talked to, I think Kevin Young was our analyst in the booth for that game on the radio side, and that ranks right up there. I mean, the Guillen throw was the one, I'll never forget that. That was, you know, from the right field wall to third base. I don't know how that happened, but that one, and the reason I said that is because, I said to Kevin, and he agreed with me afterward, no one expected there to be a play at the plate. Like when the ball was hit, it was hit not hard and hit into left center
Crawford
field.
Crawford didn't expect it. That's
Crawford
why I didn't
definitely
slide.
Nobody
didn't
did. And in fact, I guess whoever was on deck, I forget who it was for Seattle, it should have been Rodriguez or Cal Raleigh. Somebody apparently thought the same thing and wasn't doing anything. And that's why he went in standing up. So no, I did not expect a play at the plate at all. And, I was as surprised as J.P. Crawford that there was a play and that Henry Davis was tagging him out. I still can't believe it.
Greg, we got some candor from Charrington on with you when you were doing the show from Seattle with him. The one thing I keep coming back to, though, is when he said, look, we're not like a relief pitcher and a bench bat away. We're far away. We're not a win or two away. And so I applaud, I guess, the transparency there to some degree. But I also heard that and thought to myself, this is the GM of the team that's in year six saying they're not close. Does he realize he's damning himself? He's indicting himself by saying that. You're not close. You're supposed to be close. This isn't year two of a rebuild,
well,
Greg.
I don't know that he said we're not close. He said it's going to take more than just one or two, but he has actually said that they are close. So, you know, I don't know if that's a mixed message or what, and that's why I keep going back to believing that he is trying, and I still think he will pull something off large because he believes that they are close, but it's going to take more than just one. So in other words,
you've said that a few times. Pardon? On large. You've said that a few times here. Like, this is just you as a fan talking, or maybe you do have some inside knowledge that you're going to share with us.
No inside information.
But when you say big, like, you think they're going to trade, like, a baseball trade, Keller for a bat, or you think they're going to trade their prospects for major leaguers? Like, when you say big, what do you mean by that, Greg?
Yeah, I would say that. Well, and I think Chris and I talked about this a few weeks ago. I mean, maybe you were not there. I think you were actually on vacation, Andrew. But I think we discussed the idea of what he had said a couple of shows back, which was, I think I asked him something about, I think I used the word tweak, looking to tweak the roster, and he said, well, whether it might or it will take or should take more than a tweak, something to that effect. And so that's, you know, and again, throughout that whole show and the previous shows and the ones leading up to it and even the one last Sunday, I'm thinking that he is thinking that if they are close and he says it is going to take more than just one move, then that's big. And that means, and if he believes they're close, then that's not something they're going to acquire some guy that's a top AA prospect, a bat. That's going to be a bat that is either at the big league level now, not playing every day, or is being held back at the AAA level and for any other team would start, if it not for position A, B, or C at this big league level. I don't know who that is. I don't dive into these minor league players or prospects. But that tells me if they are close and they've got to add more than just one bat or bats, make one or more moves, then that tells me they've got to make big moves between now and the deadline. At least one big one, if not more. So something's going to happen.
I'm tempted to play back the clip of what he said to see if your inference is still the same, where you think he was saying here that he actually thinks they're close, because I heard the exact opposite.
I'm talking about over the last few weeks, okay, in talking to him on the air, off the air. I mean, heck, he said that on more than one occasion publicly.
How can he think they're close? They've got three good hitters. They've got three guys they can hit, and that might even be debatable. Cruz, who's hot and cold. McCutchen, who when he plays is a good hitter. And Gonzalez is hit, but he's only played in 30 games. Who else hits? No one hits.
No, I think Horowitz is a hitter.
He's got a 680 OPS. I mean, that's not good.
Yeah. No. It's you know, he's still just now playing every day after missing the first 2.5 months of the year.
Okay, I'll give you that. That's four. I'll give you him.
But,
there's four.
But I'm not trying to interpret why he said what he said.
Okay.
I'm just saying that he said it.
Yes, I got you.
And so that's all. If he believes they are close. And you can ask him those questions that you asked me.
He won't come on with us, but that's okay.
Well, next time I'm on the show hosting it, I'll try and ask him that.
Okay.
For all those reasons, for what he has said on and off the air, I think that he's going to make a big move or two.
Last one, Skeens and 78 pitches. When that happened Sunday, you didn't seem like you were flabbergasted by it, because I'm guessing you were clued into what the plan was. Are you in favor of, like, let's tamp down innings and let's really make sure that we don't go, you know, we don't let this guy be a bucking Bronco if he's, you know, if he pitches 200 innings this year, that's fine. Like, what's your take on making sure that they're very precautious and careful about things with him?
Well, I think that it's a team effort. I just watching even Paul's body language going back to the start in, heck, might have been Milwaukee. I don't know what town it was. I think it was like three starts back, and he left, I think, after four innings. And I had thought that they were going to be watching it as those, you know, you take a look at the innings. You take a look at the workload, you take a look at the stress of the last few starts. So I thought that it was not going to be a surprise that over his next handful of starts leading up to the All-Star game, they'd be watching very closely. Didn't know, you know, what kind of an innings or pitch limit he might be under. But just watching his body language and each time, and I watch it closely to see when Donnie goes to tell him he's out of the game.
He seems on board.
There
with
is
it.
Never.
I agree.
There is never, ever a question. It's like, yeah. In fact, there was one time he was kind of chuckling and smiling, and I said, "Wow, that's a relaxed look, like not upset at all." So he's obviously on board with what they're doing. So it must be a collaborative discussion, not a surprise that, you know, this is how we're doing it, and I think he's probably on board with it.
I think Burnett would have body slammed Donnie Kelly on Sunday.
Oh. I mean, sure. I mean, that's a 13-year veteran too, of course.
All right, Greg. Let's hope they get a win tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Goodbye.
Thanks, guys.